I wondered if it was the same for him. They've told you? What we've been through? He paused, fingers barely touching the photo on top of the filing cabinet. It was old. Me and Gordo, Tanner, Chris, and Rico. My 16th birthday, when I'd been given some keys for the shop. The day I'd met the Bennetts. I didn't remember who'd taken the picture. Probably someone in for an oil change. But Gordo's arm was around my shoulders as I grinned at the camera. Rico stood on his other side, and Tanner and Chris were next to me. Gordo had a cigarette behind his ear. He let his finger rest against the glass of the picture frame, tracing the faces of everyone in the photo, aside from himself. "Some," he said. They were vague, purposefully. It wasn't their place. It needs to come from their alpha. Much like we haven't said much to them, or you, because it needs to come from Joe. Why hasn't he said anything? I would have thought he would have at least spoken to Elizabeth, to Mark, to at least update them as to what had happened. I'd been too wrapped up in my own self-pity to approach him. It wasn't fair, but I needed to be selfish for my own sanity. Gordo snorted. Ox, that was the first time we'd heard him speak in almost a year, barring the few words he said to that idiot David King to get him here, which I assume he came. Goose flesh prickled along my arms. Not yet. What the hell? I whispered. Gordo shrugged as he pulled out the chair on the other side of the desk and sat down. He sighed and rubbed a hand over the stubble on his head. It rasped under his fingers. He just stopped, Ox. Carter and Kelly said it was like he was after, well, after Richard Collins, and before you. But how? He is the Alpha. How the hell did he... Oh, Jesus. He didn't even need to talk, did he? The bonds? The pack bonds between all of you? Gordo sighed. Yeah, it was intense. Feeling them the way we did. It was like that when I was... After my father, I guess. I was 12 when I was made the witch of the Bennett Pack. It wasn't like it is now, or has been for the last few years. Everything is more... I don't know, just more. So he stopped talking, I said flatly. Mostly. If he ever did speak, it was one word or two. Nothing more than a grunt, really. And you all just allowed it? We didn't allow anything, Ox. It's just how it was. You think you could make a grieving Alpha do anything? Go ahead, be my guest. Really, I snapped. Because I wouldn't know anything about being a grieving Alpha. That stopped him cold. Whatever anger had been building in him died, and he just looked tired, and older than I'd ever seen him look before. Ox, he said quietly. And not to mention, you left your goddamn mate here. His face grew stony. You leave him out of this. At least you're acknowledging it now. I don't want to talk about him. Does he know that? Ox, 3 questions. He blinked. What? I am going to ask you 3 questions. Leave Mark out of this. Not about Mark. About everything else. Ox, I told you. It needs to come from Gordo. Fine. He sounded slightly irritated. It reminded me of the Gordo I used to know. 3 questions. And I get to ask the same of you. My skin itched. Fine. I'll go first. He nodded. For some reason, the tattoos on his arms flared. Why did you ditch the phones? I asked. Gordo stared at me. He obviously hadn't expected that. I waited. Joe thought it'd be easier, he said slowly. He thought if we cut ties, we could focus on what we needed to. That being reminded of home, of all of you, made things harder. And you all went along with it. Was that a question? Statement. We went along with it. Because he was right. Because of what we had to do. Because every time he picked up that phone, Every time we saw a message from you, it became that much harder to not turn around and come right back. We had a job to do, Ox, and we couldn't do it with being reminded of home. So instead of letting us know you were okay, that you were alive, you decided, excuse me, Joe decided, you'd all be better off keeping us in the dark. Gordo winced. Joe said Mark and his mother would know, that they'd still feel. I slammed my fist down on the desk. I didn't, I snarled at him. I didn't feel a goddamn thing. And don't you tell me I had them to know, because it wasn't the same. You think we wanted this? He snapped back. Any of this? Do you think we asked to be put in this position? Was that your question? I said, throwing his own words back at him. The ghost of a smile, long since deceased. Why did you tell them? Rico, Tanner, Chris, Jesse. Because they needed to know, I said. Because they didn't understand why you'd left them. Because whether you knew it or not, they were your pack too. They needed to understand that they weren't alone, even if you were already gone. He closed his eyes. Why did you come back? I asked. David King. I frowned. What about him? What was left of him was found in Idaho. What was left? I repeated. Pieces, Ox, Gordo said, opening his eyes. He was found in pieces outside Cottonwood, in a shitty Motel 6. His head was placed in the middle of the bed. When? A few weeks back. Richard. Probably. There was a message written on the wall in his blood. I saw the photos. Four words. Yet another fallen king. Joe, well, Joe lost it. Just a bit. It had been a long time coming. There were deaths in Washington, Nevada, California. All around Oregon, I muttered. Gordo nodded. David was the last. It was like Richard was taunting us. Joe. We headed home. After that. We needed to make sure. He shook his head. You need to talk to Joe. He'd tell you that. Just talk to him. My turn. When did you become an alpha? Not how, but when. Like he knew that it was only a matter of time. Omegas came, I said. The wards? Jesse was outside them. She smelled like us. Like me. They took her. Tanner, Chris, and Rico were already a part of us by then. We went to the Omegas. We fought. They lost. The others, they looked to me. And since there was no one else here to lead them, I did what I had to do. You always did, he said. I'm not a wolf. No, he said. But you're something. Last question. So many things I needed to ask. About the last 3 years. About where we stood now. About the state of his mind. If he was the same Gordo he used to be. If that Gordo was dead and buried. If we could ever be what we were to each other. But there was only one question, really. Am I still your tether? His eyes widened. His hands shook. His bottom lip trembled. He took a great, shuddering breath. When he spoke, his voice was cracked and wet. He said, Yeah, Ox. Yeah, of course. You always have been. Even when things got dark. Even when we were hundreds of miles from home, sleeping on the side of the road, yeah. Even when I was tired and didn't think I could take another step. Even when I found places in my magic I didn't think were possible. Yeah. You were. You are. I thought of you because you're my home. You're my pack, too, okay? I don't care if you're an alpha. I don't care if you're my alpha. You're my pack, too. I nodded, not trusting myself to speak. He said, My turn, Ox. Ox, am I still your friend? Because I don't know if I can stand not being your friend and your brother. Please say that I'm still your brother. Because I need you to be. I need it so bad. I don't know what to do if you're not. Ox, just please say I'm. And I put my head down on the desk and cried. They found us some time later. Gordo crouched down at my side, rubbing his forehead against my shoulder, both of us sniffling and wiping our faces. Jesus Christ, Tanner muttered. It smells like feelings in here, Rico said. Is that what I would say if I was a werewolf? Are you guys crying all over each other? Chris demanded. I thought we could still be angry at him. Ox, you traitor. I laughed wetly. At the rate I was going, I'd never be a man like my daddy said a man should be. I didn't think that was such a bad thing anymore. Gordo muttered something darkly, still pressed against me, hand gripping mine. I didn't know that I was ready to let him go just yet. We can still be mad at him, Tanner said, even if Ox caved already. 3 days, Alpha, Rico said with a glare. You lasted 3 days. I'm still going to be mad, Chris said. 25 years we've been friends, Tanner said. And you kept this shit from us, Rico said. Brujo. You told us things were just weird sometimes, Chris said. That your tattoos didn't move, Tanner said. That we were just crazy. Or that when you broke up with Mark, that's all it was, Rico said. Just the breakup? And that your father was in jail for murder, Chris said. Not that he had murdered people with magic. In hindsight, it kind of makes sense, Tanner frowned. Now that we're saying all this out loud, I feel kind of stupid, Rico scowled. Like, why did we even believe him when he disappeared on full moons sometimes? Chris sighed. But we're still mad at you, Tanner said. Because you're an asshole, Rico said. The biggest asshole, Chris said. They crossed their arms over their chests and glared at Gordo. I missed you guys, Gordo said hoarsely. More than you could possibly know. God damn it, Tanner said. Mierda, Rico said. We need to hug now, Chris said. And they piled on top of us. I walked home that night. The stars shone overhead. I reached the dirt road that led to the house at the end of the lane. Joe was there. I hadn't seen him since the first day. He was dressed normally now. A pair of jeans. A soft sweater. He'd shaved the beard off. I saw the boy in him that he'd once been. Barely. But still there. Just more now. He wasn't the 17-year-old boy he'd been. Bigger, stronger, a man, an alpha. He didn't say anything as I approached. We were the same height now. I was sure of it. I wondered how big his wolf was now, if he shifted and looked like his father. I had so many questions. But I couldn't. I said, "Not yet," knowing full well that it would burn. He flinched, but didn't speak. I walked by him without stopping. 2 days later, Carter and Kelly kidnapped me. Technically. I came out of the diner after I'd finished up a sandwich for lunch. Before I could even take a step to cross the street back to the garage, a familiar SUV squealed to a stop in front of me. I barely had a chance to react before the passenger door was thrown open and two wolves glared at me. "Get in," Carter said. "Or what?" I said. "Or we'll make you," Kelly said. "Really? You want to try that again?" "Sure," Carter said. "Get in now." "Before we drag your ass along," Kelly said. I contemplated walking away. "Fucking werewolves," I muttered. I got in the SUV. They looked surprised when they turned back to stare at me. "Well?" I asked, arching an eyebrow. "I didn't think that would actually work," Carter said. "Seriously," Kelly said with a frown. I thought there'd be a lot more posturing. I shrugged. I don't know what that is. He means he thought we'd actually have to drag your ass, Carter said. Oh, so you were going to kidnap me. Not kidnap. You can't kidnap someone your size. What the fuck? Kidnap me and what? Sit here and stare? I shook my head. Jesus, how the hell did you guys survive this long on your own? They glared at me. I glared right back and felt something settle in my chest, like a crack filled. So I gave them an out. Right, so I have work to do, if we could get this started, so it'll be finished. You're not going back to work, Kelly said. Not today. Gordo's already there, Carter said, turning back around and pulling away from the curb. Decided now would be a good time to get back to the shop. Lucky us, because now we have all the time in the world. Did he? I asked, unsure whether to be amused or irritated. A little of both seemed right. Seemed he forgot to mention that to me. Probably for good reason, too. While we were on the mend, I don't know if I'd have agreed to this had I known ahead of time. And I think everyone knew that. I was a stubborn ass when I needed to be. Well, the shop is called Gordo's, Carter said. I'm sure he didn't think he had to. He'll probably need to relearn a few things, I said. 3 years is a long time to be away. They both winced at that. He's been doing it for years, Carter muttered. It's not like he would have forgotten, Kelly mumbled. It wasn't that long. Don't, I said, my voice deeper than it normally was. Don't you dare say it wasn't that long. You have no idea what it was like here, so don't you say that. The rest of the trip was silent. I was surprised when the SUV stopped, and I found we were out by the old covered bridge. It was in the middle of the day on a weekday, so we were alone. Carter got out first, slamming the door behind him. We watched as he paced in front of the SUV, glaring at the bridge. He was growling, something I could hear even though the windows weren't rolled down. We can smell them, Kelly said. The Omegas. There was a lot of blood. Kelly watched his brother. Mark told us. Not everything. Some parts. Said the rest needed to come from you. Joe wasn't too happy about that. I snorted. I don't expect he was. It was hard for him. For all of us. Just as hard for us who were left behind. We didn't want to leave. You did. Joe. No, that's not fair. We all made the same choice. He didn't make us. Kelly sighed. I can smell your blood, too. Here, and my mother's. It happens when you're fighting against Fang and Claw. Do you understand? What? I asked, watching Carter as he stalked the area where we'd fought, stopping every now and then to glare at the dirt. Why we made the choices we made? I could lie, but he would know. They both would, because I knew Carter was listening in. No, I said, I don't. You kept shit from me. After. You acted like I wasn't a part of this, a part of you. You made decisions without me. You'd just lost your mother, so you all decided the best thing was for me to lose the rest of you too? I asked. Because that's what happened. I lost my mother, and my Alpha, and then my brothers, and my... Joe. That's what I lost, because you all decided to... We just wanted to keep you safe, Kelly said, frustration bleeding through. I know you don't like it, but I sure as hell hope you can understand at least that. I laughed. Understand? Sure, why not? Do you understand why I'm so angry I can barely think straight? Do you understand why just the sight of you makes me happy and sick all at the same time? That I don't know whether or not to hug you or kick your fucking ass? He bowed his head. Of course you don't, because you chose the path of least resistance. All you could think about, all he could think about, was revenge, not the consequences of staying here, of dealing with the grief of losing Pack, of losing your goddamned Alpha. And since the new Alpha made this decision that you all went right along with, we were forced to make good with all we had left. So yes, there is blood here, my blood, and your mother's, and Mark's, and every single other person in my pack, because they bled here, for me, for you, and for him. Carter had stopped, hands fisted at his sides, shoulders tensed, listening. We tried, Kelly said in a broken voice. We wanted, just, there wasn't a day that went by, Ox, okay, that we didn't think of you, that we didn't wish we were home with you, and Mom, and Mark. I know you lost your mother, Ox, and we lost our father, but when we left, it was the hardest thing we ever had to do. You think we didn't grieve? We did. We grieved for our father, for our Alpha. But it was nothing compared to the grief of leaving you all behind. You should have come home. We should have. You shouldn't have cut us off. Kelly reached up and wiped his eyes. Yeah, he said. I know, but I also know why we did. Gordo, he fought against that. Said it was stupid. That you wouldn't understand. But it was different. For us. For the wolves. Because we were all tethered to you then, Ox, okay? And it hurt. It hurt. And we couldn't do what we needed to do by being tied to you. By seeing your words on his phone. By... Was it worth it? He looked out the window at his brother. Some days, I think it was. Some days, I don't. Most days, I don't know what to think. Because I don't know how we fit. You can feel it, can't you? He opened the door and got out. I watched them both through the window. Kelly went and stood next to his brother, shoulder to shoulder. Carter looked tense. They both did. I thought maybe they could be mistaken for twins now, not just for how they looked, but for the same haunted expression on their faces, the way they wore their guilt. It had hurt when they left, when my mother died, when Thomas died. But we grieved, for them, for all of them, and it still hurt, but maybe not as sharply as it had before. They hadn't gotten that, because they had been surrounded by it, by Richard Collins, and all that they'd done. They'd made their choices, yes, whether by family or obligation. And they'd never had a chance to stop, to rest, to mourn everything they'd lost. It hurt my heart. I followed them out. They looked up at me as I walked slowly toward them. I don't know how to forgive you, I admitted. To forgive Joe. You forgave Gordo, Carter said, sounding bitter. That seemed easy enough. I didn't forgive him for shit. Just because I talked to him doesn't mean anything. Trust me, he's in no different position than any of you. I would do it again, Carter said. Kelly made a strangled noise. Would you? I asked. If it all happened again, if we had to do every single thing again, I would. He was defiant, angry, scared. Why? Because we had to go. You could have taken me too. Carter looked frustrated. You don't understand. I think we've established that. Dad knew. Kelly said, Carter. Carter ignored him. He kept his gaze on me. I glanced between them. Then, knew what? He didn't say it, not in so many words. Not straight out. Kelly said, Carter, maybe he should hear this from... Carter said, "He told us to protect you, that you were special, that you were different, that if something ever happened to him, we needed to make sure you were safe, just like we would keep Mom safe, because you were important. But it was different with you." I felt gut punched. My heart was breaking all over again. And something did happen to him. He died, and Joe became our alpha, and all he could think about was stopping this once and for all. All we could think about was keeping you safe. Because if Osmond knew what you were, then Richard did too. And if Richard knew, then you weren't safe. So you left, I said. Maybe not the best choice, he said, but it was the only choice. It sure as hell wasn't, I snapped at him. You could have. We left to end this, to draw attention away from you and find him ourselves, Carter said. We left to keep you safe, and by warding you in, we hoped we could keep the others out. We did our best, Ox. Was it the right thing to do? I don't know. But I would do it again if it meant keeping you safe. Because I don't think any of us were surprised to come back and see what you'd become. I think Dad knew before all of us that this is who you would be. You made a pack, Ox, out of humans. No one could have done that but you. I'm sorry we left. I'm sorry you felt like we abandoned you. I'm sorry we didn't tell you any of this. But you are my brother. You are Kelly's brother. We would do anything for you. You can't leave again, I said, voice rough. Not again. You can't. You would do anything for me? Good. Fine. Don't leave. Carter and Kelly exchanged a look before shrugging almost in unison. Sure, Carter said. Fine, Kelly said. I stared at them. That's it. They tackled me even before I knew what was happening. We lay tangled on the ground, Kelly with his head on my stomach, rising with every breath I took. Carter clung to my arm and hand, palm to palm, fingers gripped tight. The anger was melting away. I struggled to hold on to it, because I thought it was too easy to let it go, that there should be more to it than this. But it was green in its relief. I hadn't forgiven them. Gordo, the two wolves curled against me. But I would. Not today. And probably not tomorrow. But eventually. Joe, though. I didn't know about him. Everything was wrapped up in him. It didn't seem fair that I could find forgiveness in the others, but not in him. Kelly sighed and buried his face against my chest, rubbing his nose back and forth. Okay, Carter said. I gotta ask, just because someone has to. That didn't sound good. Jessie, Carter said. Oh, I said. What about her? You banging her? Carter asked. Banging? I repeated. You smell like her, Kelly said. I smell like your mother, too, I'm sure. They both scowled at me. Holy shit, that's not what I meant. Jesus, don't tell her I said that. And no, fuck, I'm not banging Jessie. There hasn't been anything between us in a very long time. She had a date the other night with a history teacher. So you didn't bang her while we were gone? Stop saying banging. Seriously, Carter, Kelly said. That's gross. Then, are you banging Robbie? Oh my God, I muttered. That's not a no. No. He's protective of you, Carter said. I'm his alpha. Seemed a little more than that, Kelly said. I hate you both. Still not a no. It's not. Look, it's. He has a crush on you, Carter said, sounding rather gleeful at the prospect. It's not a crush. Dude, Kelly said. You didn't build a pack. You built a harem. Kelly, Carter yelped. Mom is in his harem. Kelly paled. Oh my God. And Mark. Working your way through the whole family, eh, Ox? Carter said. You kissed me first, and it couldn't quench your insatiable thirst for Bennett. At least you're both still idiots, I muttered. They laughed at me. It was a nice sound, even if it hurt to hear after so long. Joe's not a fan, Carter said easily. Of? Jesse being in your pack. But mostly Robbie. That was quite the statement he made when we got back. His hand on you, like he was keeping you calm. He was. Well, shit, Kelly said. That's not going to go over well. What isn't? I asked. Robbie, Carter said, as if I was stupid. He's your tether. I'm not a wolf. You're an alpha, Carter pointed out. I don't know that it matters. You feel like we do now, just without the change, Kelly said. It's close enough. He keeps you grounded. Joe has no right to be pissed about that, I growled. He doesn't get a say. Carter and Kelly tensed. Carter said, He's just... No, I said. I don't have to explain anything to him. Not yet. And even if Robbie was my tether, I don't have to justify myself to him. Or to you. You were gone. You cut us out. You say it was to keep us safe, and you say you would do the same thing again. That's fine. But don't expect to come back here and have things be the way you left them. We did what we had to do in order to survive, because that's now how life works. We don't put ourselves on hold because you... No one asked you to, Carter said, gripping my hand. And I don't know that we expected you to, but I know Joe. He hoped, Ox, even if he never said anything, even if he turned into a broody alpha asshole, he hoped. I know he did. So cut him some slack since you've moved on from... I sat up, knocking the two wolves off me. Moved on? Kelly and Carter exchanged another one of their looks. With Robbie... Carter said slowly. There is nothing between me and Robbie. Sure, I mean, he kissed me. Oh, for fuck's sake, stop growling. I told him no, okay? And he understands. It's not like that between us. It won't ever be. For me. Because of Joe, Carter said, far too smug. I said, not because of Joe. And they both grinned when they heard the lie. You need to fix this, Carter said. You need to go fuck yourself, I said. Kelly squinted at me. Does being an alpha automatically make you a douchebag? Because between you and Joe... I punched him in the shoulder, hard. He laughed at me and pushed me back down so he could lie on me again. I didn't fight it. I didn't want to fight it. Carter moved closer, so his head was in the crook of my arm. It didn't feel like giving up. It felt green. The both of them. I didn't know what to do about Joe. I said, It's not just him. They waited. I tried to find the right words. Robbie, it's all of them. It's the pack. They're my tether. Silence. Then Carter said, Like it was for Dad. That's how it always was for him, Kelly said. Always pack. I touched their arms, their shoulders, their necks, their faces. They leaned into the touch, and all I thought was pack, pack, pack. As the sun began to set, I asked, Do you really think he knew? Who? Your dad. About me. Yeah, Ox. We think he knew. I think maybe we all did. They dropped me back off at the shop. Gordo was the only one still there. It was strange seeing him sitting behind his desk again. He said, "It was their idea." I snorted and leaned against the door frame. "Throwing them under the bus?" He shrugged. "They'll survive." "How's it feel, being back?" He ran his hands over his desk. "Like I've been gone too long." "Sounds about right." Tanner let me back into my house. He had the keys. We cleaned it, once a month or so, making sure it was good for when you came back.
Did you?
Yes.
You said when.
What?
You said when I came back, not if.
Oh, I guess. Did you think? I looked away. Maybe. I hoped. Gordo cleared his throat. It felt weird, standing in there, like I didn't remember how I'd got there, like I was dreaming. I knew about dreaming. That's how I feel any time I step back into the old house, like I'm not awake, like it's not real. But it is. It'll take some time before it's real again for you.
Is it real for you?
Most of the time, I said honestly. We were quiet for a little while. He said, "Joe patrols at night for hours."
I know.
He drummed his fingers on the desk.
"Of course you would, because you can feel it now, like he can. Maybe even better.
You knew, didn't you, the second we stepped back into Green Creek?" I nodded. "You touched your wards to see that they were still up." "I don't understand how this is possible."
"I don't either. I didn't know if we ever would. It seemed odd to be considered a strange thing in among people who could change into wolves on a whim."
"You need to talk to him."
"Are you saying that as my friend or as his witch?"
He stiffened slightly.
"Would it matter?"
"I don't know."
"What do you know?"
"I was yours first." I smiled. "Though I think Mark would disagree with that." He glared at me. I stared right back. He looked away first. Then Joe probably would too. And he had me there.
"For which one of us?" I countered.
"You going to fix this?" he asked, ignoring my question. "You've been home for less than a week," I said. "After 3 years, things change. We noticed."
"Meaning?"
"Meaning we came back and you had your own pack, with people we didn't know."
"It sucked, Ox."
"I made do with what I had. You left us in pieces. I had to try and put us back together. You don't get to blame us for anything. Not after what you did. All of you."
"And you did good, kiddo," he said. "It's just going to take a while to get used to it all again.
We don't blame you, Ox. None of us do. You made the choices you had to, and no one can fault you for that." I almost believed him. I turned down his offer for a ride. I walked home. Joe was waiting again in the shadows on the dirt road. I couldn't do this now. I'd already been through too much today. I made to walk past him again, and he reached out and grabbed my arm, stopping me. His nostrils flared.
"My brothers?" he said. "And Gordo?"
I said nothing.
"You can't do this," he growled.
"With them, and not with me. Not forever."
"Not yet," I spat out.
He let me go. I didn't look back as I walked away, though every step was harder than the one before it. That night, I ran along the edges of the territory, making sure we were safe. Thomas said,
"You're different, Ox. I don't think even I know how different.
It will be truly a sight to behold, and I, for one, can't wait to see it." My mother popped a soap bubble on my ear. Somewhere on the other side of the territory, a wolf sang a song for all the forest to hear.
It was blue. Everything about it was blue. Chapter 28. How old for you? Always been mine. How would this work? I asked Mark and Elizabeth. It was 7 days since the others had returned, and 1 day before the full moon. We walked through the woods, brushing our hands against the trees, leaving our scent on the bark. They'd chosen not to shift, knowing I needed advice.
What would that be? Mark asked.
I rolled my eyes.
You know.
Maybe, but it helps to hear you say it, Elizabeth said.
I held back the retort and just said,
Joe.
Between the two of you? Mark asked.
No. Well, yes, that too. But that's not what I meant. Between all of us.
Mark chuckled. Of course that's what you'd be thinking of. Everyone else but yourself.
It's my job, I said.
That may be, Elizabeth said. But there's a time to be selfish, Ox.
I can't, I admitted. Not yet. I hated those two words more than anything.
You're angry still, she said, touching my arm.
It's not something I can just get over. But you have already, Mark said. With Gordo, Carter, Kelly, maybe not completely, but you've started.
And? I asked, trying to play dumb. That has nothing to do with...
Why should Joe be any different?
Because he is different.
It was petty, but I didn't like feeling cornered. He's not the same to me as everyone else. And they knew that. But they'd also talked to him since I'd been back. Every day. They went back and forth between the old house and the main house. They spent the day with him while I was at work, with the rest of my pack and Gordo. They hugged him. They touched him. They listened to him breathe. They didn't wake up from nightmares where Joe was gone again, that he hadn't said anything. He'd just been gone, like he never was at all.
You're not dreaming, Ox, Elizabeth said quietly.
And again, I wonder just how connected we all were, because sometimes I thought they were always in my head.
I know it seems like you are. The edges are fuzzy, and you can't quite make sense of what's happening. But I promise you, this isn't a dream.
What do you talk about? I asked, not looking at either of them. When I'm not there. Mark sighed. Not much. Carter and Kelly do most of the talking. Joe doesn't say very much. I felt guilty at that, even though I didn't know if I should have. Apparently, he'd been like that for a long time now. I didn't know what else had changed. I didn't know how to ask.
I have to let this go, I said. But I don't know how. I've tried. I have. It's killing me to know he's right there and I'm not doing anything about it. Then do something, Elizabeth said. You've never been indecisive before, Ox. Don't start now.
I snorted. That's bullshit. There's plenty of times I haven't been able to make a choice. She slapped me upside the head, and I glared at her.
Fix this, she said. Before I lose all my patience and take care of it myself. You don't want that to happen.
You really don't, Mark said. She'll become like a little gnat, always buzzing in your...
Don't even get me started on you, Elizabeth said. You're in the same boat, Mark, I swear to God. You just wait until this is finished. I'm going to start on...
Mark raised his hands in surrender. Hey, all right, all right. I hear you.
Either end it or don't,
Elizabeth said to me after glaring at her brother-in-law.
Forgive him, or don't. Just don't make him wait. It's not fair. To either of you. Men, useless. All you do is make things difficult, just because you can.
Could a pack have two alphas? I asked, trying to distract them. She narrowed her eyes at me, knowing what I was doing. But she allowed it.
Who's to say we couldn't? We already have a human alpha. We're not exactly orthodox here. We never really have been.
even when we were supposed to be. There's tradition, and then there are the Bennets.
I was still learning that. And if I say no, I said slowly, if I rejected him, if I kept the packs separate.
It would be your choice, Elizabeth said, and we would know you thought you were making the right one.
But you wouldn't agree. Maybe, Mark said, maybe not. But it's not about that. You have instincts, we don't.
I could say the same about you.
True, he said. But our instinct is to trust you, to make the right decision for the pack.
Even if you disagree.
Even then. That feels like I'm controlling you, that you're not getting a choice in this. We are, Mark said kindly. We chose you.
They're your sons, your nephews.
And you're our alpha,
Elizabeth said, eyes flaring orange.
This is the way things are.
This wasn't how I wanted things to be. I don't want to come between you.
You couldn't, even if you tried, she said.
And that was that. He was waiting for me on the dirt road, looking hopeful, scared, angry, tense, because I'd talked to all of them, except him, and he knew that. I was tired of all of this. Something had to give, and it needed to be from me. I just needed to find the words. I reached him, and I knew he thought I was going to walk by, maybe say, not yet, again, throwing those words back in his face like I'd been doing since he'd come home. His shoulders were already starting to slump. So I said, "Hey, Joe," and hoped it was a start. He was startled. He opened and closed his mouth a few times. He made a growling noise deep in his chest, a low rumble that made my skin itch. It was pleased, that sound, like even just me saying his name was enough to make him happy. For all I knew, it was. It cut off as quickly as it started. He looked faintly embarrassed. I scuffed my foot in the dirt, waiting. He said, "Hey, Ox." He cleared his throat and looked down. "Hi." It was weird, that disconnect between the boy I'd known and the man before me. His voice was deeper, and he was bigger than he'd ever been. He radiated power that had never been there before. It fit him well. I remembered that day that I'd really seen him for the first time, wearing those running shorts and little else. I pushed those thoughts away. I didn't want him sniffing me out. Not yet. Because attraction wasn't the problem right now. Especially not right now. I cleared my throat, and he looked back up at me. Our eyes met like a car crash, colliding and breaking away. It was awkward in a way it had never been before. But it was something. More than we'd had in a very long time. I couldn't help but think of the single kiss we'd shared, the driest brush of his lips against mine, as we lay side by side. "I will come back for you," he'd said. And hadn't I believed him? Hadn't I believed every single thing he'd told me? I had. And he had come back, like he said he would. It had just taken longer than we thought. "You," he said, as I said, "There's..." We stopped. He coughed. "You first." I nodded, because it had to be me. "Tomorrow. It's the full moon." "Yeah? I guess it is." He knew, but he was humoring me. "What are you doing for it?" He shrugged and scratched the back of his neck. "Hadn't really thought about it." Which I thought possibly was a lie. "If you're not busy, we could run. Your pack. And mine." He looked surprised. "You'd do that?" "You were here first, Joe. It's your land. But it's just... Will you do it?" He nodded furiously. "Yes, yeah, I can. We can. It'll be..." Good, I said. It'll be good. And I didn't know what else to say after that, because I had too much to say. So I said nothing at all. We stared at each other for a little while, taking each other in. I tried to force myself to take a step closer to him, just to be, but I couldn't. Okay, I said finally. Tomorrow, then. He frowned as I moved to walk around him, down the dirt road to the old house. Ox, he said quietly, as we were shoulder to shoulder. I held my breath and waited. Are we? He stopped, shook his head, let out a frustrated groan. We have to talk. About everything I need you to know. Everything. There are things you have to hear. From me. I need you to... Just... I need you. I tried to ignore the heat along my skin, to focus on what was important. Is he coming? He knew who I meant. I think so. Are we safe for now? Yeah. Yes. It can wait a few days, but... Then the rest of it can wait, too. Ox. I said nothing. He sighed. Okay. Somehow, I was able to walk away. The sky was darkening the next day when my pack gathered at the old house, standing in the kitchen. I still avoided the living room whenever possible. Elizabeth and Mark still slept at the house at the end of the lane, but Robbie had moved back to the old house, taking over the spare bedroom, knowing Mom's room was off limits. Apparently, him being there didn't sit well with Carter and Kelly, and they told me as much. I didn't know what Joe thought. Are you sure about this? Robbie asked me. We don't even know them.
I'd like to think I do, Elizabeth said lightly. I gave birth to most of them.
Robbie grimaced slightly. Sorry.
For giving birth? She teased.
He blushed and mumbled something incoherent.
He's got a point, Jesse said. Full moons with you are different. We know these wolves. Most of the humans here don't know them. Are you sure they're in control enough? Have you even seen them shift since they've been here?
I hadn't, and said as much.
They broke away, she said. How is that different from them being Omegas?
They had an Alpha, Mark said. They still do. They may not have been here, but they still had an Alpha to draw strength from. They tethered themselves to him.
Just as long as there are no wolves gnawing on my ass, I'm okay, Rico said.
Succinct as usual, Tanner said, smacking him upside the back of the head.
Pendejo, Rico muttered. No one is gnawing on anything, I said.
Really? Chris said innocently. I'm sure Joe's going to be disappointed to hear that. I glared at him, as most everyone in the room snickered at that.
We're going to be fine, I said, trying to get the conversation back on track. We'll run with them. There will be no gnawing on anyone. Chris, keep your mouth shut. And we'll figure this out. Okay?
They nodded.
Okay, I said. This was going to be fine.
It was not fine. It had been fine, for the most part. When we arrived at the clearing, the moon was rising, and Joe and his pack were already there. The eyes of the wolves were flashing at the pull of the moon. Gordo's tattoos were glowing, and I realized this was the first time I'd ever seen him as part of a pack on a full moon. It hurt dully to think he'd been a part of something for so long, and I hadn't been there to see it. There hadn't been enough time to ask him about it after everything that had happened. Like they did when they first came back, they all moved together, watching us as we walked into the clearing. I was sure that if I were a wolf, I would have heard their hearts beating in sync. It felt tense as we approached, a little bit off, but I didn't think it was too bad. It might have been wishful thinking.
Ox, Joe said,
but not before his gaze flickered over my right shoulder, where I knew Robbie stood.
Joe, I said,
thank you for allowing us to join you tonight.
I nodded, hating how formal this was.
Thank you for being here.
Oh my God, Rico muttered. They are so awkward.
Shut up, Tanner hissed. They're werewolves. They can hear you.
I know what they are. Stop whisper shouting at me.
They are really awkward, though, Chris whispered.
They were always like that, Jessie mumbled under her breath.
If I hadn't been watching Joe, I would have missed the way his lips quirked for just a second, like he was fighting back a smile.
This is my pack, I said, trying not to snarl at all of them.
And this is mine, Joe said. Carter and Kelly were snickering to each other. Gordo looked like he was ready to roll his eyes.
Shall we run?
Joe asked.
We can, I said.
And here comes the part where really attractive people get naked, Rico said. And most of them are related, which isn't weird at all.
Rico, I said.
Yes?
Shut up.
It's weird. Just because you don't see it as weird doesn't mean it's not.
Talking about it doesn't make it any less weird.
I feel like we should at least address the weirdness.
Rico!
Shutting up now. Carter and Kelly had already disrobed by the time Rico closed his mouth. Carter winked at me before he shifted, the familiar snap of bone and muscle loud in the clearing. Kelly followed quickly. And then there were two wolves standing in the moonlight, eyes orange, and teeth bared in a canine smile. They weren't all that much different than they'd been years before, same coloring as they'd always been. But they were bigger and heavier. They would never be as big as Thomas was, but they had grown noticeably. I didn't know if that had to do with age or Joe, probably both. Mark and Elizabeth followed suit, Rico muttering about everyone being way too calm with the nudity, and Chris calling him a prude. Soon there were four wolves in the clearing, and they rubbed up against each other, Carter and Kelly crowding on either side of their mother, wriggling excitedly like puppies.
Go ahead, Robbie, I said, feeling Joe's eyes on me.
I don't have to, he said through a mouthful of sharpened teeth. I can stay with you. I can run like this, or half shift. It's fine. But it wasn't fine. I knew the moon was pulling at him, his wolf clawing just under the surface to break free. Mark had told me once a long time ago that it physically hurt not to change with the moon, that if a werewolf denied it for too long, over too many moons, it could cause a mental break.
It's fine, I said lightly. You should get used to the others.
He didn't look happy about that, glancing between Joe and me. He let out a huff and started stripping. I averted my eyes as a courtesy. Joe was still watching me with a blank look. He didn't used to be able to do that. I hated it. Robbie shifted somewhere behind me. He was ganglier than the others, and smaller, with long, thin legs and a narrow body. His tail twitched as he came to stand next to me, watching the wolves from his pack mingle with wolves from another pack. He looked tense and unsure. I ran my hands over his head, tugging gently on one of his ears. He nuzzled into my hand, and I felt a pulse of warmth along the thread that stretched between us.
Go on, I said.
And I thought he would. I thought he'd join the other wolves. But instead, he turned back to the humans behind us and started rubbing up against their legs, snapping playfully at their heels, to get them moving toward the trees to run through the woods. Then, it was just Joe and me, listening as the wolves sang and humans hollered. He spoke first. He said,
You did good, Ox.
I didn't know what to do with that, so I just said, Thanks. But that didn't sit right. So I added,
It wasn't just me.
Oh?
It was all of us.
They did as much for me as I did for them.
I know. That's what Pack does. I bit back the retort and pushed away the familiar curl of anger. Joe probably knew it, could probably taste the bright spark of rage before I caught it, but he didn't say anything about it. Instead, he said, "But don't think it wasn't you, Ox. If it wasn't for you..." I waited to see if he would continue. "Ox." I looked over at him. He was closer to me than he'd been in over 3 years. I didn't understand why it felt like he was still so far away.
"Thank you," he said.
"For what?"
"For doing what I couldn't."
"I shouldn't have had to," I wanted to shout at him. "You shouldn't have put me in this position. You left us. You left me." "I didn't have a choice," I said instead.
He snorted, eyes bleeding red. "You always had a choice, Ox. And you still chose us. You always did."
"That's what Pack does," I said, throwing his words back at him.
He smiled at me. He had many teeth.
"Are you going to shift?" I asked, suddenly feeling very warm.
He took a step toward me. My feet wouldn't move. Another step, and then another. He stopped within arm's reach, but didn't move to touch me. It was odd, knowing I didn't have to look down to meet his eyes anymore.
"When I was gone," he said, playing with the hem of his shirt. "When we were gone, every day was hard."
I watched his fingers as he started to tug on his shirt, pulling it up.
"But the full moons were the hardest," he said, "and there was miles of skin."
He wasn't a little boy anymore, or even a teenager stumbling in his father's footsteps. No, he was a man now, and an alpha, and it showed in the cut of the muscles in his stomach, the breadth of his chest, and the way it was covered with a smattering of lightly colored hair. The way his biceps bunched as he pulled the shirt up and over his head, before dropping it to the ground beside him.
"They were the hardest," he said, "because I would be howling for my pack, and only some of them heard me. Only some of them howled back."
His hands moved toward the fly of his jeans, fingers trailing along his waist, curling into the hair on his stomach. He lifted one foot behind the other, toeing at his boot. It slid off, and he pushed it to the side.
"I was howling for you," he said quietly, as he slid off his other boot. "Even if you didn't hear me, even if you couldn't feel it, Ox, I swear, I howled for you."
He unbuttoned the top button of his jeans, and I told myself to look away. I told myself this wasn't right, that I was still so angry at him that I could barely stand it, that we had so fucking much to talk about to even see if we could get back to the way we once were, or even close to it. He knew what he was doing to me. And for a moment, I hated him for manipulating me like that. But if I thought about it, really thought about it, I didn't think he'd do something like that. Use his own body to get what he wanted. Granted, I didn't know this Joe. I didn't know what he'd done while he was away. How many people he'd fucked. If he'd fucked anyone at all. He was innocent and kind, the boy I once knew. I tried to fit him with the man before me. Tried to reconcile the difference between the two. The second button was undone. Then the third. I didn't think he'd worn underwear, and the moon was bright enough to see his pubic hair, the base of his dick. I looked back up at his face. The blank look was gone. The mask of the alpha slipped and discarded, even though his eyes still burned red. He looked younger almost, softer, unsure of himself. He said, "There was never anyone else the entire time I was gone. There was never anyone else for me. Because even if you couldn't hear me when I called for you, The howl in my heart was always meant for you. I wanted to tell him to get out of my head, because somehow he'd known what I was thinking. He shouldn't have been able to see that, to hear that, to know that. I wanted to tell him I hadn't been with anyone else either, that I had waited and waited and waited for him until I thought my skin would break apart and my bones would turn to so much dust, that I did what I had to do to keep us alive, that even though we had become something more than what the pieces of us should have made, there was an ache in my head and a hole in my heart, and it was because of him. He'd done this to me. He didn't fuck anyone else? Well, good for him. I didn't even think about it. There was a yip in the trees, louder than the others. I looked over. Robbie stood at the tree line, watching me, head cocked in question.
He cares about you, Joe said from behind me.
I'm his alpha.
Sure, Ox, Joe said. And I knew from the sound of it that he'd stepped out of his jeans. I told myself not to turn around. I'd already seen too much, and I wasn't going to break down that easily, even if he was all I'd ever really wanted. Robbie yipped again and turned back toward the forest.
We still need to talk, Joe said, and he was right behind me. I closed my eyes, but I could still feel the heat of him, his breath on my neck. All I had to do was lean back and... I took a step forward.
We will, I said. Tomorrow. Because I didn't think I could go another day like this. It was choking me, and I was struggling to breathe through it.
Tomorrow, he said, and it came out like a promise I didn't know I was making. He shifted behind me. The sound of it seemed to go on forever. There was that heat behind me still, but it was different now. Something pressed against the middle of my back, his nose from the feel of it. He took in a long, slow breath, exhaled low and hot. Something tugged near the back of my head, buried in the bonds of my pack. I thought to reach for it, to test it, to taste it. But before I could, the alpha wolf circled me, and my breath was knocked from my chest. He was big, bigger than Thomas had ever been. The top of his head reached almost to my neck. He was still completely white, aside from his nose and paws, his lips and his claws, and his eyes, which were like fire. I wondered if this was how my mother had felt that first time, when Thomas had shown her that she would never be alone again. And like he could hear every single thought in my head, Joe leaned up and pressed his nose to my neck, and I said, "Oh." It started out fine, mostly. I felt like I was caught in a free fall, my stomach swooping up in my chest to the back of my throat. I felt like I was stuck in that moment when you miss the last step and land hard on your foot. We ran in the woods, through the trees, jumping over logs and creeks, our feet splashing in the water when we didn't make it far enough. The wolves were howling around me, but it was off. The harmony is too far off key to really be singing together. My wolves sang like they always did, in time and in sync. Joe and his wolves did the same, but a step above or below mine. It grated, the mixing of the two. But there was something there, something that was thrumming just below the surface. It crawled along my skin, and I ran toward it, to escape from it. The humans laughed as the wolves chased them. Gordo hung back, mostly watching, eyes on the perimeter, arms alight as his tattoos fluttered and flew. I thought we were close to something as we moved in the forest, something that was just out of reach. Joe ran at my side, the muscles under the white coat moving like water, like smoke, fluid and rippling. I wasn't a wolf. I didn't think I'd ever be a wolf. I didn't feel the pull of the moon. But it felt different now. I wanted to howl a song out. I wanted to sprout claws and fangs and tear into the flesh of a rabbit. I wanted my eyes to burst red, to feel the grass on my paws. There were thoughts, some my own, some coming from all directions. They said, "Pack, love, brother, son," and, "Safe here, we are safe here," and, "Together, oh my God, we're together, we run together," and, "Home, we're finally home. Look, here, this tree, I know this tree," and, "He's gone, father, husband, Alpha, he's gone, but I can still feel him, I can still smell him, I can still love him," and so much more. It was all of them at once, the wolves, and maybe the humans of my pack. They were skittering along my thoughts, tying themselves to me and each other, the threads tangling. But it was the wolf that ran with me that I heard the most. He said, "Here." He said, "I'm here." He said, "With you, finally with you." He said, "I can feel you." He said, "I know you can feel me." He said, "That little voice at the back of your head, that little tug you feel that you've always felt, that has never left you, has always been me. It's always been me, because you've always been mine. I gave you my wolf because you are pack, pack, pack. You are mate. You are, you are, you are." We were so distracted, running under this euphoric high, this fever dream that couldn't have possibly been real, that we didn't see him coming. One second, Joe and I were side by side, and the next, there was a flash of gray and black in front of me, and Joe was knocked off his feet onto his side. The fever broke. There was loud snarling, a snapping of teeth. I kept running for 5 steps before I remembered I had to stop. I turned and... Robbie was on top of Joe, teeth buried in his throat. Joe was kicking up at him, the claws on his back legs shredding into Robbie's sides, his stomach. There was an angry roar behind me as Carter and Kelly burst out from the trees. Robbie let out a high-pitched whine as Joe got in a vicious kick, knocking him off and into a tree. Elizabeth and Mark came from the other direction, eyes orange and teeth bared. They stood in front of Robbie as he tried to pick himself up, blood dripping from the lacerations on his sides. Joe was already on his feet, the hair around his throat stained red. Carter and Kelly came up on either side of him, growling, backs arched as they crept toward Robbie, who had managed to get himself to his feet. There was too much going on in my head. I was being pulled in different directions. There were threads pouring out of me, latching on to Robbie and Elizabeth and Mark, and these threads were strong and true, and they said, "Pack," and "Protect," and "Mine." They only grew stronger as humans ran through the trees toward us, spiked with fear and thoughts of attack. We are under attack. Remember the training. Remember what the Alpha